We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. What I wanted to share with you about is great deliverance, but it's about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. So I want to look at this. I want to look at the man's life. I want to look at who he was and what the Lord called him to be. I want to show you the grace that every single soul, every single sinner is available to every soul, no matter where their background, no matter where they came from, no matter what's been going on in their life. It's just an incredible story. You know your own. And Paul tells this account as he's witnessing three times during the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." That he was super zealous. Go to, just keep your finger here. We're going to stay in Acts 9 for a while. I'll put your ribbon there. Go to Acts 26. He tells this record again, adds a little bit more information. Says, verse 12, says, "Wherein, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest," then he had this incredible light. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, when them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, and I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul," that's the Apostle Paul's name, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He had the authority from the chief priest. In Galatians chapter 1, and the Lord is the one who brings him, shows up in an incredible vision, you know, because there's nobody else witnessing to Paul. There's nobody else out there that can get to a man, then the Lord does it himself. And in chapter 13, he talks a little bit more about how vicious he was. And excuse me, chapter 1, verse 13, "For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." I wanted to destroy it. That's what wasted it means. I wanted to absolutely rub this thing out. You know, there are people on the earth who want to rub Christianity out today, right? You know, ISIS, this is nothing new. But this time it was Paul. But the same viciousness, the same commitment. I think I'm absolutely right. And he thought he was doing this for the Lord. But he wasn't. That's why Jesus met him, knocked him off his horse, and saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" Says he persecuted beyond measure and wasted it, and profited it in the Jewish religion above many of my equals of my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. He was one of the upper echelon of the Pharisaical group, and he desired to get rid of these Christians. I mean, he wasn't just assigned the job. He sought it. I want to get rid of these people. Go back to Acts chapter 9. In verse 3, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him the light from heaven." It was so bright, as it says in 26, like the sun. "And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, who is Saul persecuting at the time? The saints, the believers. But you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that comes upon you is going to him. It's personal. If I were to persecute you or to cheat you, I have literally persecuted Jesus and I have literally cheated him. He identifies with you closer than you and I think. If I treat one of his children evilly, or someone else does, you've done it to him. That's why he says to us, love one another. That's why in a marriage you're supposed to be one flesh. You know what I mean? Because this is my wife is my sister in Christ. How I treat her is how I treat the Lord. And I don't, nobody thinks this way. But Jesus does. Why do you persecute me? And he says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I mean, Saul didn't know him. The Apostle Paul hasn't known the Lord. He thinks that this cult, the way, these people, they are God haters, and they are blasphemers, and they are evil. That's why he wants to get rid of them. He rejoices the fact that he's gone from town to town and literally arrested them. And then he shows up at their trial, put them to death. And the Lord says, "Why you did this to me?" See, you got God in Christ in you. That's literal. That is not figurative. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you've turned your life over to him, you believe the gospel, God raised him from the dead, you have got the Spirit of God within you. You are his child. You have God in Christ in you. And you can choose to walk, because we've had this miracle. You can choose to walk like Christ. Or you can choose to walk like John McCabe. Yeah. Or just put your own name in the blank. You're going to walk for yourself, or you're going to walk for him. Paul said, "Who are you? Who are you?" He's just gotten knocked off the horse. He's on the ground. And in the Hebrew tongue, the Lord says to him, that's what it says in 26. In the Hebrew tongue, the Lord says to him, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" So it says, the Lord said unto him, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know what? This is behind oxen to make them behave. There is a sharp stick so this ox can't kick you in the head. And it is a sharp stick so that when he puts his leg back too far, it sticks him in the leg. It is hard for you to kick against me. It hurts. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Think about that. First thing, who are you? And what do you want me to do? As God-fearing people, as Christian believers, that's really what we want to ask the Lord. Not what are you going to do to bless me? It's the other way around. Show me who you are. And what would you have me to do as your servant, as your child? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? It's really his first prayer. He doesn't even know it's a prayer just yet. And then the Lord answers him. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. They heard a sound, but they didn't hear the distinction of the sound. They didn't know what was being said. But they saw no man. And Saul rose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. If you still kept your place, Acts 26. If you didn't, I'll just read it to you, because I didn't keep my place. Acts 26. There's more information here. He says in verse 15, it says, And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which that I will appear to thee, the stuff that I'm going to show you in the future, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. I'm going to deliver you from the people that I send. And how many times does Paul get beaten and come so close to death? And yet the Lord delivered him out of each and every situation. The whole point of his giving him this commission, this ministry, I mean, he makes him an apostle on the first day. You don't have to go to school to become one. If you got the calling, right? I mean, he didn't know nothing yet. And the Lord has called him. And he says, I have called you, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, by me, those that believe on me. The Apostle Paul is just Saul at the moment. That's his Hebrew name. Saul is Paul in Hebrew. Paul is the Greek name. You know, Jesus' Hebrew name, his real name, the name his mom called him, all right, Yeshua. His Greek name is Jesus. My name is John. Sean is also John. Okay? Juan is also John. How many other names for John are there out there? It's all John. Matter which language you're communicating. Saul hates everything about Jesus and his people. He is committed to destroy every single one of them. Lock them up, hang them. Stone them, feed them to the lions, do whatever. Get rid of these people. And the Lord wants him. Now you see how God deals with many of his enemies in the Old Testament and even in the New. You know, old King Agrippa, I think it was. You know, he says, and he gave an oration and didn't give the glory to God. And it says, and the angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten of worms and dropped dead. God can take care of his enemies. He's got unique ways of doing it. But he didn't want to do that with Saul. See, Saul really believed with all of his heart he was doing this for God. He was just wrong. You know? But the Lord said, I want him. So he, in a vision, showed up, bright light, knocked him to the ground, blinded him. And when he said, who are you? I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me. What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, you can read all these three accounts. It's in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. Add all the information. But the Lord says, I'm going to show you what you're going to do. I'm going to teach you. And you're going to teach. And I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And I'm going to send you unto kings and to Israel. And so much for the churches that teach, you know, well, you know, Jesus, it was just all to Jerusalem, you know, the Gentiles were just added on, second-class people. You know, there's other doctrines where there are people who believe, no. You know, everything is brand new. You know, Israel rejected him. Now Christians are a brand new breed. And it's got nothing to do with Israel until the end again. All of those things are opinions of men and doctrines. And you know what? Some of them are right and some of them are wrong. Just like Paul. But let's not get any, let us not be so arrogant that we think we always have it right when we speak the word. I know what I believe, and I teach you the truth the way I understand it. But if you've been along in this church long enough, you know I've changed my mind. I've learned more as time has gone by. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't have something that I have to uphold in order to belong to some group. I just want to know the truth, and I ask the Lord to teach. Do the same. Never be arrogant. Just lead people to him. One thing we know, there's one God, one Lord, one Spirit, there's one faith. You know, we're to love and be compassionate one to another, help, minister. I mean, these things are simple truths, right? There's no one who can't be forgiven and no one who shouldn't be forgiven who asks. We're to let all bitterness go from our lives and we're to teach the scriptures. The Lord is going to send Paul, and you know because most of you have read the scriptures on this journey, it's going to cost him terribly. And Jesus tells him day one. Day one. He's never into tricking you. He'll tell you straight out how much this is going to cost you. And then you, just like Paul, decides. You decide whether you're going to do it. You know that he bled and died for you, right? And he asks, I want you to surrender your life to me. Live for me. You decide either to or not to every single day of your life. See, it's not a one-time decision. I decide that every day I wake up. You know, and there are moments in my life and moments in yours. None of us are perfect. And we take that thing right back and, no, I'm doing what I want to do right now. And I try not to. The Apostle Paul, this guy from day one, locked in. And I don't see a blip on the radar where he went off. I see it with Peter. I see it with James. I see it with all the others, but not the Apostle Paul. It's not recorded in Scripture. He said he's fully followed the Lord. Go to Acts 9 again. So the Lord is the one who knocks him down. The Lord is the one who tells him exactly who he is and what he's going to do. The people standing around him just knew that he got knocked down. They heard something, but they didn't hear the distinguishing part of the speech. This was a message just to him. And he's blind. And they lead him to Damascus. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he drink, eat or drink. And they were certain, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Just a certain guy. First of all, what do you think Paul's doing in those 3 days? I think he's praying. I think he's crying. I think he's confused. I think he's bewildered. And he is crying out to God. Who is this Jesus? What's this all about? The things that I was persecuting, this is him? Is this possibly the Messiah? I mean, can you imagine the things that could have been going through his head? I'm sure he knew what those Christians believed, at least in basic. That Jesus? And he is praying and praying and praying. And the Lord is working the whole situation out. See, you don't have to work things out when you're dealing with witnessing. When you start talking to somebody, I can pretty much already guarantee that God's been working in their life before you get there. He's setting them up for that moment. And then maybe after you, he's setting them up again for another moment. Because God is into reconciling mankind back to him, right? He wants us led from the power of darkness unto the power of God. He wants us to be freed from the world and Satan unto himself. God's working. Let me get back to this before I talk too much. So he's got Ananias. He's just a certain disciple. Nobody's special. But you know what? He knows he's got the Spirit of God. See, a disciple is a person who's a disciplined follower. He doesn't necessarily have a job in the church. He's just like you and me. Although I'm the minister I'm teaching today, we're all disciples. Then there's some people who've got specific jobs that they're given to do. Paul's got a job he's going to be given to do. The Lord just gave him. He hadn't done it yet, but he's got the job. He's named Ananias, and to him set the Lord in a vision. Again, got the Spirit of God within you? You can hear from him. Now, you say that in public on the streets of Manhattan, they'll say, you're one of the crazy people. No, I'm sorry, you're not one of the crazy people. You are one of the faith-believing people. He says, Ananias, the Lord said. And he says, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight. He gives him the directions. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He's praying. And I don't know. The Lord doesn't tell us what his prayers are about. I can imagine all the things that he'd be talking about and crying about and asking. But the Lord knew. And it's time. He's been praying. He prayeth. And God hears every word you say. The Lord hears every word you say. No one cries out in the name of the Lord and doesn't get saved. That's what the scripture says. And he has seen, I have showed him a vision, a man named Ananias, that's you, coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. See, Ananias hadn't accepted the job yet, but the Lord knows Ananias, right? He's a good, faithful disciple. He's going to do this. I have showed Saul that there's a man named Ananias coming and he's going to put his hands on him and he's going to receive his sight. And Ananias answered the Lord, whoa. I have heard of many of this man. He's famous. And he's in Damascus. This is not Jerusalem. His fame of persecution has gone all the way around. I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority of the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Lord, I got a problem. Don't you realize who this is? And Jesus says to him, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great a things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul suffered. It cost him everything to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and he was so happy to do it. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, and he sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Whew. He got physically healed, right? It says his scales fell off his eyes. But he received the Spirit of God. There's more done here than just as what's said. But I want you to see the transformation. This is like throwing a light switch on when the man gets saved. Happened to you. It happened to you. You remember. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he hath received meat, he was strengthened. He hadn't eaten for 3 days or drank, right? First thing he does, eat. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither and had it for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. This is the true, absolute Messiah. This is in a very short period of time. Very, very short period of time. When the light bulb goes off, when you and I and anyone else surrenders our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept him as Lord, and we're determined to live for him because he is our Lord, then he will give you the words to speak. He will show you the truth of his word. And each day he grew in his knowledge and his understanding. You know, those believers were there. They were sharing with him what they knew. He's not in a vacuum. He was certain days with the disciples. You guys teach each other. You know, the reason we get together, we want to enjoy each other, right? But in the fellowships that we go to, the whole point is the word, not the fellowship. The whole point in everything we do in this church is to understand and do the word. Then we enjoy each other and we help each other understand different things. But it's that powerful. From darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God. And you're watching it happen in this man named Saul. And if Saul, who has killed God's people, is chosen, then who can't be chosen? Right. If in this man who so wanted everything to be wiped out is now the primary greatest soldier of the Lord to do his will. So, whatever your background, most of you are not like him. Whether you were very boring or very boorish, God can do, and the Lord can do anything if you allow it. And you know, he had to choose. He was called, but there are plenty of people who've been called who have not chosen to walk in that calling. That is your decision. That is your decision. My decision. And it's not about ourselves. It's not about us. Oh, well, I don't know enough. He didn't know nothing. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the things that he was trained in and the traditions of his father. But he didn't know and understand Jesus yet, until Jesus showed him. And then whatever he knew, it was enough to prove to those that heard him that Jesus is the Messiah. Look at go back to, oh, where are we going? Philippians chapter 3, second. The background that Paul had, not only did he want to kill everybody, but like I said, he was one of the best. Philippians chapter 3. He was one of their best men. And as you read the scriptures and as you read the epistles, you start to see that we are supposed to, as individual believers not depend upon our flesh, whatever we understand, or education, or a lack of it. We are to surrender our lives to the Lord, do what we're told in the Scriptures, and He's the one that gets the work done. Well, Paul had the PhD of Pharisees. He was at the top of the game. He was on the top of the list, the upper echelon. And this is what he says about his background. In verse 3, Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, you think you're good? I'm better. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Oh, by the way, the tribe of Benjamin were the warriors. Concerning zeal, you want to talk about, I had zeal for you, I'm persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is of the law, I was blameless. This guy was sold out before he ever. He was wrong, but he was sold out. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtlessly, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. And this is it for us. I don't know everything else that's going to go on in this life, but I want to be found in Him. I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what we want. No confidence in me, or my abilities, or lack thereof. For me, personally, it's the lack of ability that would hinder me or keep me from doing maybe something that He would have me to do. I got to just throw it on the table. I got to surrender it. You want me to do something? It'll get done. You strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He wants something done, it'll get done. He wants something spoken, it'll be spoken. It'll be done in my lingo, but it'll get done. You and I can turn our lives. We have in many places. There may be other places in your life that you would like to turn more over to Him. Choose. He's called you. He's called you ambassadors. He's called you His children. He's called you His sons, His servants. He's called you all these things. We can act and do exactly as He has called us. And it's just like a switch. From darkness to light. Power of Satan to God. Our choice. That's what I wanted to share with you today.